Good morning. Welcome. It is wonderful to be here as we gather together in God's house. We have come inside from God's world because indeed every single inch and atom and every single part of this world is sacred and Christ-soaked. And we are glad that you chose to spend the next hour or so with us here at Glenshaw Valley. Welcome to you. I don't believe there are any announcements except to highlight that today is a special day. Every Sunday is special, but today we will be welcoming some new members, Jane and Dave Chappelle and Danita Gregory, and that will be later on in our service. And then after that, everyone is welcome over to the Fellowship Hall, which is just, you can ask directions if you need to it or whatever, or some of us are part of the Thursday morning dance group, so they already know where the Fellowship Hall is. And there will be dancing over there after church. No, there will be donuts and coffee. Many thanks to BJ and her team. And we'll also be celebrating Linda Ross, who joined formerly Glenshaw Valley just a couple of weeks ago. So it's a big, exciting day in God's world. And now let us just take a moment to breathe in the love of God and to breathe out anything that does not serve us, anything that might make us doubt that we are God's beloved. I invite you to join me in our call to worship based on Psalm 116. We call upon the name of the Holy One, who hears our cry and responds to our prayer. What shall we return to the Holy One for all the blessings we receive?
We will call.
The Holy One has been our companion in suffering and our comforter in anguish. What shall we return to the Holy One for their presence among us?
We will serve the Holy One and be companions and comforters for God's people.
The Holy One has given a new covenant of salvation, redemption, and restoration for the world. What shall we return to the Holy One for the gift of covenantal love?
We will declare the goodness of God with praise and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Holy One.
And please rise in body or spirit as we sing together our opening hymn, We Bless the Name of Christ the Lord.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, we ask you to meet us in those moments when we recognize that we have cause, through action or inaction, through words or silence, through participation or lack of participation, that we have caused or allowed harm to take place. In those moments, allow our hearts to break in order to be mended with the burning fire of repentance and sharpening. In those moments, let our hearts cry, "What should we do?" In those moments, guide us to wisdom, discernment, Holy Spirit, so that we would not only be forgiven, but gifted with the work of repair and restoration. Amen. My beloved, the Holy Spirit continues to be our present companion. The Spirit always offers us wisdom, hope, and peace. Let us be encouraged that the Holy One meets with us where we are in our journey so that we can do all we can for the good of God's world. We are forgiven. Amen. We invite you to share with us an expression of our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us offer to one another some sign of God's love and Christ's peace. Peace be with you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. We have many concerns. We have many joys that we bring before God in prayer, formally, and the prayers that we say as we drive along, as we walk along, as we get ready. I know that there are many of us here who are in need, covet the prayers of the community. We give thanks for Sandy with us today, and we continue to think of you and hold you in our hearts. And we also want to keep Patty Yamrod in our prayers. She is at home at her sister's home, actually recovering from her surgery. And so we want to continue to pray for Patty and Faye and the family. It's nice. It must be nice to have a sister that's a nurse. That's very nice. Yeah. Also, as we know, if you have those alerts on your phone, even as we came to worship today, there were wars and rumors of wars, and we are in a very difficult time in our country and in our world, and so we pray for peace. Pastor Tom is preaching away again this morning. We lift him up in our prayers, and I know that many of you. And remember, even if your prayer concern is not spoken aloud, God knows what we need and attends to it. Let us pray in silence first, and then I will lead us. O God, you come to us in unexpected places, in a crowded room, in a journey on a dusty road. You come in conversations. You come in the stillness and the silence. And you are with us in the midst of our doubts and our fears, our sorrow. You come in the power of the resurrection. And there is no pain or suffering that we experience alone. There is no pain or suffering that is unknown to you. And so we, as people who need peace, we pray for the places where there seems to be none. Hearts that are breaking, minds that are roiling with questions and worries. Homes that are torn apart, countries torn by war, refugees seeking homes, prisoners facing torture. You bring peace. For all of our regrets, our failures, our broken relationships, the lost friendships, we ask for your peace, because you are a friend to us when we are alone, and when we are lonely, and when we feel unseen, you see us, you are there. And so we ask, O God, that we might feel the truth about our very selves, that you created us in love and you created us for the purpose of love. And may we be instruments of your love. There are many ways by which you make yourself known to us, and we have been blessed to know you through the person of Jesus of Nazareth, the one who walked the talk, the one who went about doing good, as the children's song tells us, the one who fed people and healed people and listened to people and told stories. And he also taught us to pray, and we pray this prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Again, I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we sing hymn number 252, The Day of Arising. Please be seated. And as our ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering, please note that if you're visiting with us, you are certainly under no obligation to give. You are our guest today. Thank you.
Loving Creator, you only give what is good, and we return a portion of gifts that we have that really belong to you. May these gifts be used for the good of all your creation. Amen.
And I asked Lynn if I could just make a note before she reads our scripture today. If you came here last week or to any church that follows the Revised Common Lectionary, last week the lesson that we read from was, it was Doubting Thomas, which took place a week after Jesus had risen. But today, the lectionary jumps us back to Easter. And so the story that we read from Luke's Gospel today takes place on Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday evening.
Good morning.
Morning.
So this morning, you're going to get your money's worth because we got a big reading. Luke 24:13-35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as a woman had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the reading of the word.
Thank you, Lynn. Let us pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I know this is true for a few of you at least, maybe more, but may ever since I was a little kid, I could not wait to drive. Anybody else feel that way? Anybody? I could not wait to drive. It just seemed like it was forever until I turned 16. And then, you know, when I failed the written test the first time, and then when I failed the written test the second time, that was a setback. And then when I got behind the wheel and took the driving test and I failed it the first time and the second time and the third time. But then when I passed it on that fourth time, I could drive, and I've always loved to drive. I travel by plane, that kind of thing, sometimes, from time to time, but there's something about the open road. I also wanted to be a truck driver. Aren't you glad I'm not out driving an 18-wheeler? If I need a ride home, by the way, but there's something mythical about roads. It's a mystery. It's a journey. We have those iconic travels, the family road trip playlist. What's America's Main Street? You know which one that is? Route 66. Get your kicks on Route 66. Anybody know how old Route 66 turns this year? 100. It's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. There's the Pacific Coast Highway, the Blue Ridge Parkway. We know about Cannery Row and Sesame Street, the Silk Road, the Nightmare on Elm Street, Broadway, 42nd Street, Abbey Road, all of those places. And of course, nothing's better than Mount Royal when they're clipping the trees, right? Or paving. I mean, that is just, that's, yeah. This one is special. This road to Emmaus. The thing is, not everybody has driven those roads I named or walked those roads I've named. You might not even have ever heard of some of them. Not everybody's going to hike the Appalachian Trail. I might be the only one in the room that has looked for Judy Garland's stars on Hollywood Boulevard and Vine. But as strange as it sounds, we have all walked this Emmaus Road. What's happening on this road? We have two friends consoling each other on the way from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Remember, this takes place on Easter evening, but the last time that they have seen their friend Jesus, they saw him crucified, his body placed in a tomb. And just imagine what a slog this 7-mile journey was from Jerusalem back home to Emmaus. They have their heavy hearts. They're carrying their own heavy hearts, and they're also carrying one another's. They probably were part of that crowd that was on a different road just a week ago, waving palms, shouting as Jesus triumphantly came in on a donkey, the one that they placed all their hopes on, the real man of God who'd come to their rescue. Their dream was coming true. It was so close. And now it has fallen apart. Sure, there are these idle tales about women saying that angels told them Jesus was alive, but nobody's seen him. All those dreams and those hopes, they have come crashing down. And for me, I'm moved by the words that they use in their brokenhearted story. We had hoped. And if you think back to times in your life when you had hoped, that's when you've been on that road. And some of us feel like we might be on that road now. We had hoped that our child would love school. We had hoped that we would not hear that news from the doctor. We had hoped that this time love would last forever. We had hoped that the demon of addiction or depression would just leave her alone. We hoped that at this stage or this age in our life, things would be different. We'd be on the sunny side of the street all the hours we prayed, but no, here we are, struggling to put one foot in front of the other. I've been on this road many times. And even if you haven't, I bet you know somebody who has, and you have traveled that road with them. So you've been on the road. And that's why this story is powerful. This story shows us how we navigate this road. How we navigate it when we're unable to go on, and how we navigate it with our sisters and brothers, our siblings. Just last week, a woman came into my little cave at the library, and I hadn't seen her in a while. She emptied her heart and her soul about her adult son who died last year after many years of struggle with addiction and depression. And she looked at me and she said, you know, I would not be standing here, Ing, if I hadn't heard the awful, painful stories of other moms and dads who lost their kids the same way in my grief group. We cry, she said, we rant, we scream at our kids. We tell our kids we love them. We look in the mirror and scream at ourselves. We curse God. We hold each other. We just listen, and our pain helps us understand. And that's what Cleopas and his friend, they're doing for one another right here on this road. It's what you've done for people. And it's what people have done for you. And when that happens, that's when the miracle shows up. That's when Christ is present in that exchange, right beside you in the person next to you. And as the story tells us, right here on the road. This awful road reveals that Jesus is there with them. It doesn't matter that they don't recognize him at first. And what he says might sound like he's chastising them. But instead, this is Jesus at his pastoral best. Because he walks right with them and he shares the promises of old that they would know. And he reminds them in telling them these stories of the times when God has been with them on other heartbreaking roads when they had hoped and those hopes were dead. And so then, already moved by the healing that is taking place, they are able to invite him home, this stranger. They don't know he's Jesus, this stranger. They invite him home. And in their own gift of love, they see him. They feel him, and they know he is there. And it's in these thin spaces, right in the middle of these hard, horrible roads, through each other, that the Christ shows up best. And it may be in those unexpected places, in a grief group, yes, for sure. I know many, and I myself have experienced that too. But it can also be, and I've seen this too, I've experienced this too, in your little dancing class at the library, in your bowling team, in the people you work with, in your family of origin, or maybe sometimes they are the source of the pain, or in the family that you created. Even in the deer who gather on your front lawn in the morning. Those are thin places. So that when the hope that you had comes crashing down, there is a way through it. It is with one another. It is with this Christ-soaked world to remain in it. Because that's where Christ is, in and around us all, right on the journey. And nobody wants to walk some of these roads. But we do as humans. But not alone. That's how the burning of God's love becomes real. Amen. Glenshaw Valley Church is one wonderful place where people experience the love of the body, the community of Christ. And recently, we've been very fortunate that Linda Ross has become an official member. And today, I would like to welcome up Cliff Huff, our clerk of session, and Danita Gregory, and Jane and Dave Chappelle, as they unite with us.
On behalf of session, I present Jaden and David Chappelle, who have been receiving the membership of this congregation by transfer from St. Peter's Evangelical Lutheran Church congregation. On behalf of session, I present Danita Gregory, who has received in the membership of the congregation by reaffirmation of faith.
It is true that there is an official script for this, and I will follow that. But first, I do just want to say how thankful we are to God and for the gift of each of you and your own particular gifts that you bring, just to help us remember that we are part of a loving world. You come to us as members of the one holy Catholic Church into which you were baptized and by which you've been nurtured. And we are one with each other. We are siblings in the family of God, and we rejoice in the gifts. And as you join us in the worship and the service of Glenshaw Valley, it is fitting that all together we reaffirm the covenant into which we were baptized, claiming again the promises of God, which are ours. Galatians chapter 3 reminds us, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself in Christ. And there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ. Citizens in Christ, our baptism is the sign and the seal that we are members of God's family. Through the birth, death, life, and resurrection of Christ, the power over sin is broken, and God's kingdom is in the world. For our baptism, we are reminded that we are citizens of this. So we will celebrate the truth through the renewal of the promises. So I ask you, David and Jane and Benita, trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? If so, please answer by saying, aye. Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace? And will you continue to be Christ's faithful disciple, trying to live as he did, obeying his word and showing his love? So, please answer by saying, and now I ask you and I invite you to rise in body your spirit, members and friends of this congregation, if you will. Do you affirm that we are not alone, that we live in God's world? We believe in God who has created and is creating, for his coming Jesus, the Word made flesh to reconcile and make new. That God works in us and in others by the Spirit. Do you? Do you affirm that we trust in God and we are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect of creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified, risen, our judge and our hope in life and death, in life beyond death? God is with us. We are not alone. Do we affirm that together?
Did you do?
Oh Lord, uphold Benita and Jane and David by your Holy Spirit, as we know that you do. Daily increase them with your gifts of grace, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and Christ. Amen. And I just ask you to repeat this after me, I'll go three lines together. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you.
With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you.
Let us share in the ministry of Christ.
Let us share in the mystery of Christ.
We are all one.
We are all one in God's family.
And may the peace of Christ be with you now and always. May the peace of Christ be with you now and always. And you too. Now and always. Now, this is the conclusion of our service. Again, remember, you're all welcome over to the fellowship hall for coffee and for donuts. And I love it if you guys feel comfortable standing up here and singing our final hymn together, verses 1 and 3. And maybe today you make a decision in the morning, night, formally with the church. You can see it's not so bad. And since I don't know if you had to dance or sing or anything. And or if you would just like to come forward and stand with us. It's just one possible step in the membership process. Let us sing together verses 1 and 3 of Leaning on the Everlasting.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, all those whom you love, all those who believe no one loves them, this day, this night, and throughout all eternity.
Amen.